Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens, and I'm grateful
today, as always,
to have Brad Lominick here.
It's good to be here, Ron. I am mindful of all the things happening right now in the room, and I'm mindful of you, and I'm mindful of Bree.
And Truman, the world's greatest Labrador retriever, laying at the floor at our feet.
Again, you know, for the podcast listeners who've been on this journey for a while, we're recording here in
Linden Hill Studios,
and Truman the dog basically runs life.
It does.
He is snoring. He's in his sweet spot. He's mindful of the job that he has, which is basically to sleep.
To bring a calming influence into the room.
Absolutely. He does.
Did we get that right, Bree?
By the way, you should have an Instagram account for Truman. Do you have an Instagram account for Truman?
I don't. You know, Truman has his own, you know, t-shirts, an annual event.
Right.
You know, Truman's Tacos and Beer is an annual party that takes place.
Are those
place
t-shirts
here?
Available? Like, can we make one available to the people?
Bree is shaking her head. We can. Post a picture of your dog at Ron Kitchens. We're going to pick a dog. Maybe there'll be a tie. We probably have multiple shirts.
So this is a topic that is really interesting. No question this would be on the soft side of leadership. The idea of being mindful, emotional intelligence, self-awareness.
It is, but you know, we do a series, so I get a chance to interview, as do you, dozens of great leaders every year. And you know, one of the things that I like to ask is, what's your morning routine? And it surprises me how many people talk about meditation or reading or focused, or they're on a treadmill or something that is more than just the physical capacity, but they're getting their head centered.
Hmm.
You know, I've been doing some yoga as much for the stretching.
Hold on here a second, folks.
I knew not to bring that up.
This is breaking news here on the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. Now, you got to unpack that one a little bit for us.
So you were in my car this morning. The studio I go to is fairly dark. The lights are low. The instructor speaks in a very soothing tone. My mind gets absolutely, you know, rejuvenated doing that kind of mindful thought of pushing other things out so I can think. You know, the other place for me that really works is on a long airplane flight.
Yeah.
I get more work done on the creative side on that flight than I will sitting at my desk. And I guess it's probably because my phone doesn't work and there's no email coming in and I'm not talking to anybody. I don't know anybody around me. Even if I travel with teammates, I don't allow them to sit by me. I will sit in the back by the bathroom if I have to.
Because you want that time.
Because I want that time to focus and just let creative juices flow. And I think that's a big part of what mindfulness is about.
How are you in your role as CEO and dealing with team members and leading people, how are you making sure that you're mindful of them? Because I think that's also a big part of this issue is the awareness of the people on the team and taking their thoughts and who they are and their emotions into consideration. How do you do that intentionally?
So our mutual friend, Bob Goff, taught me a trick. We may even have talked about it on this podcast a time or two before. So I know if I'm going into a meeting with people, I have to create my own center, meaning that I got to bring my own emotions into check. Because particularly if somebody else is going to have high emotions in the meeting, that will escalate mine. So the trick Bob taught me was, you know, you lay your forearms down on your thighs, your hands up into the air, you breathe through your nose, 3 deep breaths, close your eyes.
I'm doing it right now.
Start. Yeah. And, you know, Bob was a very successful trial attorney. And, you know, that was the trick he always taught his clients to do, to not be agitated, not let what people are saying throw you off, to own that. And there are times that the emotional get high in a meeting and I'll just go back to that. All of a sudden underneath the table, my arms are laying there. I'm intentionally breathing to bring my own mindfulness and center so I don't escalate. And as a leader, our job is to de-escalate, not escalate emotions. But it's also to know what other people's, I think, triggers are. And that's probably the wrong term. Somebody's majored in psychology is going to tell me that's the wrong term.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, but it really is about knowing that you'll be in a meeting when some people need to laugh to be relaxed, and other people find, you know, laughter at, and I tend to be one of those that when tensions get high, I'm going to tell a joke. I'm going to get everybody to laugh to bring it down. But there's some who think you're dismissing them then if you do that. So you've got to find the balance and understand what people's needs are.
Is empathy equal parts of the solution here in terms of the soup you're mixing up when it comes to mindfulness, emotional intelligence, the ability to read people, the ability to sort of gauge the room, the awareness you have? Because a lot of leaders I know would say, I hope not. Hope it's not empathy because I don't have much of that. I'm missing, and I'm not sure if empathy is something you can acquire or build, or if it's just part of your regular DNA, you're made with it or you're not.
Yes. Yeah, so if we brought out my Gallup strengths, empathy is actually fairly low for me. Now, I have lots of intuition. That's very high. But empathy is low. So I have to be intentional about that because I tend to go, well, we all agreed we're going to battle on this issue and we're going to go succeed at this. And we're, no. I agreed to it. They're just still trying to catch up. And so I have to look at those other triggers, the body language, the verbal language, the sense of passion, and all those kind of intuition things to bring people along because, yeah, that empathy I'm not particularly high at, which sometimes leads me to go faster than other people are prepared to. And then they feel like they got left behind. And then I got to go back and say, no, I need you. I can't climb the wall without you. And so, you know, this kind of being a mindful leader is knowing what others' needs, wants, and desires are, you know, and paying attention in a particular way on purpose, you know, being in that moment non-judgmental. And for me, I have to prepare myself for that. Otherwise, I'm sprinting past people.
And are you hiring as much on EQ as IQ?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, or even more.
Yeah, we don't, you know, I've written about it a lot. I don't particularly care what your resume said. I don't have any desire at all to know what your GPA was in college.
Yeah, all of you college graduates, take that one in and absorb that. All the times that you were fretting about your GPA, I think what you just said is reflective of many organizations. They're not looking at your GPA. They don't care what your major was necessarily.
No, we want to know, are you prepared to work on a team? You know, fit is the most important thing for us. You know, you've got to have some basics done. We want to know that you finish things. So we're going to want you to have graduated from, you know, whether the job is a community college or a university. We want to know you did it. If it took you a little time to do it, we're okay with that. We just want to know you're a finisher. We want to know that you have the ability to work on teams. So you got to demonstrate that. We're hiring for a position right now and had somebody put in their cover letter when we specifically asked them to give examples where they worked on teams, said, well, I don't have to work on a team. I'm always the strongest person. And that was in the very first paragraph. Wow. We didn't look at anything else.
Yeah, not strong emotional intelligence there.
No. You know, and in a group that you're going to do life with these people. You're going to spend half of your life with this tribe of people. If you can't be mindful about their needs, wants, and desires as well as your own, if your emotional intelligence level doesn't allow you to do that, your ability to succeed is almost non-existent.
Where's the line, because I think there is one, between the very savvy, emotional, intelligent leader and the brown noser? Because a lot of people, they think mindfulness, oh, that means that I'm supposed to be aware of the things that other people like and enjoy, and I'm going to butter their bread. Therefore, I'm going to become that brown noser compared to the person who's mindful in an appropriate manner and they're emotionally intelligent in an appropriate manner. And nobody thinks, oh, they're so annoying. They're brown nosing me now. Does that come back to intentionality?
It does. It comes back to, are you having an authentic relationship with someone or is it transactional?
Okay.
That's and good. That brown yeah. noser, if you will, that's a transaction.
Right.
They want to have a transaction with you to then elevate them so they can have a transaction with somebody else. Where people that are building authentic relationships understand that their value is what they bring to the process. Whether they're leading or supporting by having group success, which doesn't mean you aren't recognized for your own levels of contribution. You know, great teams still have players who are all-stars. Mm-hmm. But they understand that to be an all-star, other people have to produce. And so where that inauthentic transactional leader doesn't value anyone else and doesn't really value themselves. They think that they can connive their way to success.
Right.
And you can do that a step or two, but long term, nobody ever reaches even mid levels, let alone the pinnacle of success, without authentically owning their own leadership and understanding how their leadership and their capacity plugs into the group's success, the organization's success.
Is Daniel Goleman still the expert, if we could call him such, on this issue? His book, Emotional Intelligence, yeah, seems to still be the...
That's the gold standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in all of our leadership programs, we teach that system. We take people who we're considering adding to our team. We're measuring them against those standards.
Is that a test that you can...
Yeah, it's an evaluation tool.
Use through his...
Yeah, and it's a language tool that you're using to ask questions, and it's about how they're answering those questions. And that is much more important today than is the traditional academic thing. So the academics show that you finish things and you finish it in a timely manner. But this kind of emotional intelligence along with strengths, so you can be emotionally intelligent, but if you're working in the wrong area, you're still not going to be successful. So we want to know what your strengths are, what your talent levels are. We want to know that you finish things because you've had success indicators, but you've also got to be able to grind it on a day-by-day basis with a group of people. And if you don't have that, that's something you got to figure out.
So for the person listening who is maybe raising their hand saying, okay, I'm not real mindful, I'm not real emotional intelligent, I need work on this, what are some practical things that we can recommend for them to do?
Other than my yoga mat.
What's the practical one or two things that somebody could put into play today?
I think you've got to find whatever that center looks like for you. So fix yourself first. So good. Whether that's every morning journaling, we've got a lot of friends who are big journalers. That's a discipline that's tough for me. It comes in fits and starts. It's, you know, that daily devotional or reading something, but it's that bringing things around center. You know, one of the things that I do is I listen to a lot of podcasts for different things. So I have some that are just general knowledge, but I have some specific folks that I listen to because they make me more mindful than I'm listening to on a daily basis, driving to work, before meetings, that kind of help me slow my rhythm down.
Hmm.
But it's got to be something as a leader, you've got to own that. And if you don't, your ability to succeed and lead is going to be pretty dramatically diminished.
I would add to ask people who you work with or who you're around, what are some ways you can actually be more emotionally intelligent and aware? Because the people you're closest to are the ones who can give you the best advice many times on this issue. And they're going to give you practical things like, hey, when you walked into that meeting, you did this. That's not the best way to lead from a mindful place. And so ask the people that you're around, family, friends, but also your coworkers. Man, and I would probably ask your peers, meaning those who are at sort of the same level yeah. of you in the organization. I don't know if I would walk into your boss or your manager or your leader and say, hey, I'm really struggling on this issue. I mean, you might, but I think you're going to get the best response and feedback from those that are sort of on the same level in the organization.
Yep. Well, and you know, I actually kind of do that fairly regularly. I tend to have a lot of enthusiasm about things, which is a great trait. I like that about myself. But the problem is if I'm in a meeting and we're working on creative things, then we don't get any creativity done because my enthusiasm, along with my title, keeps everybody else from coming out and bringing their ideas. So, you know, mindfulness strategy is I don't go to the meetings anymore.
Yeah.
So they come together around these creative. And then once it's 90% done,
I'll jump in
and we'll add to it. We can change things. But, you know, one of my issues was, well, I don't think we're getting enough creativity in these meetings. And finally somebody went, well, it's you.
Yeah. Which is part of being mindful.
Yeah. And so our team and our leadership are doing things without me, not to keep me from knowing what's going on, but to allow our team to grow, you know, and my enthusiasm not to damper that. So, you know, it's a hard thing to lead, but if you ask good questions, you're going to get some pretty good answers.
It's good.
So I want to thank you for joining us this week and always for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.